This is Today in Tech, episode 46 for Saturday, November 20th, 2010. Enjoy. This edition of Today in Tech is brought to you by CPC Studios at cpcstudios.com. They'll bring your ideas to life. Hey there, how are you today? Dylan Combs here from Cincinnati, Ohio, as always. We've got a great show planned for you today. We're going to talk tech, talk about some of the latest tech news stories out there, of course. Google Voice is back on the iPhone. The Beatles are on iTunes. Pink announced her pregnancy on Twitter, and we've got quite a few more stories as well. We've also got a great guest on the show today, but before we get to that, let's go around the virtual Skype table, as always, and check in on everyone. Our usual hosts are here, Kat and Bradley. Kat, how are you?
Hey, I am good. I'm alive. As was mentioned on a different show earlier today, I've been sick for 10 days now. But I think I sound a little better than I did this morning, so it's all good.
You do.
That's good, because Bradley informed me that I sounded like crap earlier.
Yeah, and Bradley, welcome to the show, Bradley.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Pretty good. Now, I got to mention real quick, last week's show, for those that have downloaded this and are listening to this episode, you're probably wondering where last week's show is. We had some issues with our podcast host, and by the time I was actually able to get it out, it was Thursday, so I was like, well, I don't think you guys want to listen to last week's tech news. So last week's show was never released, unfortunately, but I will be taking the interview out of last week's show from the guy from teensintech.com and throwing that up as a special edition so that we can still get that out. So, yeah, that's what happened with last week's show. Now, our guest today is Lamar Wilson. If you don't know Lamar, you must be living a rock. He's one of my top five favorite YouTubers. I would definitely suggest subscribing to his channel if you're not already. He's hilarious. He's got a very unique style, and it's hard to explain what he does, really. We'll just let him tell you about it. I'm going to turn it over to Kat. Kat can introduce Lamar and tell you all about what he does. He's great.
You know, Lamar is also one of my favorite people, and I don't just say that because I like the things that he does on YouTube or Twitter or anywhere else. I've actually met Lamar and spent quite a bit of time with him in person at various events in Seattle and stuff, and he's just a great guy. He's a lot of fun. He is no different, honestly, in person than what you're going to find online, and I love that. That's the way it should be. So needless to say, Lamar and I have a really good time when we hang out. It's a lot of fun, a lot of people laughs. And what Lamar does is not just make you laugh, he makes you think. And to me, that's important. He's teaching you about current events and social media and technology, but he's doing it in a way that's going to keep you engaged, keep you interested, and make you want to come back and learn some more. So to me, that's hot. That's important. And so, you know, on that note, Lamar, thank you so much for coming today.
Kat, thank you for inviting me. Dylan, thank you for having me. And Alistair as well. Thank you very much.
So now that I've told a little about the basics of what you do, why don't you tell us a little bit more? How did you go from being a teacher, a regular old teacher, to doing what you're doing now? How did that happen?
The money.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't the money. So I've taught kids from kindergarten to eighth grade since, I would say, 1997 is when I started. I started as an assistant, and then in 99 I got my own classroom. So, and I've literally taught every grade except six. And don't ask me why I didn't teach six. It was just one of those weird things. But the last 2 years of the school I was working in Chicago, I became the tech coordinator because I've always had a love for tech. And my principal said, you know, for all that you do, you really need to expand yourself. You know, you're too limited here at the school. And it was kind of weird that a principal would tell me that, but he was a really good mentor. So I made the decision to leave. So in 06, I started my own business. So I became a technology consultant for schools, basically taking my tech business, my tech position that I did at the school, and kind of making it more available for the district. So currently I work with geez, probably nearly 50 schools. And yeah, whether it's websites or providing support to the school as far as training, I basically train teachers. I do what I did in the classroom, but I do it with teachers. I try to keep the same humor and energy, but I do miss the kids on some level because the kids are so much easier to deal with than adults. Adults are very interesting. So, but to get to your question about YouTube, I guess when I found Chris in 08, I was looking to do something with media, and I didn't know what to do. So I went to, I did the contest, and I won, and got a chance to go to Gnomedex in 08, and started live streaming like Dylan is doing, and utterly failed. So I said, let me try this YouTube thing. So I created a few tech videos. They got no views. It was horrible. So one video I did in December of 08, which is anymore, unfortunately, it was a tech video. I did a walk through of my house and all the technology, but I added some humor at the beginning, and that's when the views start coming in. And I said, oh, okay. So I can do humorous things and people will come. So that's kind of started the YouTube thing.
You know, let me say too, Lamar's referring to Chris Perlow. For anyone who doesn't know, Chris is live streaming. He has a bajillion, trillion, killion subscribers all across the internet on every platform. And I happen to work for him. Excuse me. I am his assistant and I upload all the videos. That's one of the things that I do. And of course, I monitor the comment stream on YouTube. Now, anybody that's ever looked at a comment stream on YouTube will know that it's haters. And it's just a bunch of assholes and idiots. Yeah. But I'm serious when I tell you that the comments that we get on... Lamar does a video every single Monday for us. Almost every single Monday. Without fail. And the comments and feedback that we get from those are just phenomenal. You know, we did this as a way to help Lamar, but he's also helping us. Because people truly love what you're doing, Lamar, and that's great.
Thank you. So yeah,
have to remove bad comments from your videos. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good thing. So I've adjusted formats a little bit. I always try to tweak what I do. I would say in the last year I decided, hey, I want to do more current events. I've always had the name Wilson Tech One because I started with tech videos, but it's never really been a tech channel. Nope. And my audience has accepted that, and they know that my videos are comedic and educational. So the main reason I do what I do, if you want to just get to the core of it, is because I'm a teacher for life, and I build myself as an edutainer. So basically, I educate through using entertainment and humor. And so every video is going to be something that you learn, that you get out the video, and that's my whole point. I try to take stories that maybe boring stories, and I say, hey, how can I make this interesting and for my audience? So that's really what my goal is.
I was gonna troll the troll, Dylan, and you banned him.
You're trolling my chat, you get banned.
You guys are missing out. Those of you who are gonna download the you really are missing out because we have a really active and interesting community in our chat room. So
something interesting
these days.
Something really interesting about your videos, Wilson, is different from any others because I see a lot of things on YouTube. Yeah. People try to be really funny, but then they don't focus on education or news enough, or it's all boring and it's all news. You have this fine balance which works perfectly every time, and it grabs everyone's attention, and it just works. And the humor is just genuine. It's great, and I don't think I've seen any kind of genre work this great from anyone else.
Wow.
It just works.
Thank you very much. It's an uphill battle because I'm battling against different forces. You have the teenagers who they flip their hair, they get thousands of views. and you have some of these others who I don't like to judge others, but some people do low quality videos and they get a whole bunch of views and hits and comments, and so it's hard for someone who's an adult. Who's older than the average YouTuber out there to try to break in and get that audience, because my audience is overwhelmingly teenagers, so I do have to cater to them at some point. So, Kat, when you referenced the before the show, the Justin Bieber thing, you know, every once in a while that has to be thrown in. That's just good marketing.
And, well, yeah,
you know, and they enjoy it. They enjoy the fun.
It is, and you can't forget, you know, your trademark raisins in the background.
And the planners, yeah. And the planners' nuts. Don't, whatever you do, don't steal Lamar's nuts.
Okay. You know what? On this show, I'm going to tell the reason why I have those back there. Okay.
Awesome! Because, you know, every single week, I do this video and I wonder. So, you know, another thing that I appreciate, Lamar, about at least the videos that you do for us, I admit that I don't get to watch every single video you do because there just aren't enough hours in the day.
I
run out of time, but I do watch as many as I can because I do enjoy it, you know. But you don't only regurgitate the same freaking stories that everybody else is doing, the hot news stories. The videos that you bring me are actually things that I haven't gotten to read most of the time. And like I said when I introduced you very briefly, you do make me stop and think because you put your own spin on it. You're like, okay, you know, let's say The Consumerist or Wired. I know those are two of your favorite sites, and I need to visit them more often myself for stories. But you'll say, here's the story, this is what it says, but this is what I think. And not enough people do that. They say, oh, you know, this is the story and it's great and this is why you should do this, and that's it.
And you know, on Lacronome, I tend to get heat for that. I got heat on another channel.
Really?
Because sometimes people are so used to on a so-called tech channel, which I don't, Lacronome is not a tech channel, it's a geek channel, but people forget that. But people sometimes just expect you to give the news void of any opinion and just leave it at that. And to me, those are the most boring videos you can ever do.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
I mean, I'm a commentator. Commentators are allowed to have opinions. And just because my opinion is not, it's not always going to be the popular one. Sometimes it's going to be the opposite opinion. You know, I have fun with the Mac audience. We go back and forth. I have nothing against Max individually, but the audience, the loyalty is hysterical.
Yeah.
I'm going to make fun of that because I make fun of the religion. I don't make fun of the product.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Exactly.
It is what it is.
You know, and that's, people need to stop and remember, you need to think outside the box. I don't care if it's a tech story or a breaking news story. It doesn't matter. You know, it's a good thing when we stop and listen to what somebody else is saying, because you're going to learn something you didn't know. Your brain is going to go in directions it never would have gone. I don't know about you guys, but to me, that's what life is all about. Absolutely. I love it when somebody says, hey, no, you're stupid. You're wrong. This is why. I love that.
Absolutely. It keeps you thinking.
And that's what you do. You know, you don't come stupid, of course, because I tell you to make me a sandwich.
but
I'm running inside joke. Lamar and I are, one of these days, one of us will make the other a sandwich. It'll happen.
It's going to be awesome.
I can't wait for that. Season breaks first.
And you know what? One thing I really like is the fact you do talk about some really sensitive things, but there's humor in it, and I think that's the best way to get around this whole offensive crap.
Exactly.
I think people need to chill out, stop throwing a fit because they get offensive by someone else's opinion. You know, you need to look at things differently sometimes, and I think using humor to portray that through the audience is a really good way to do it.
Yeah, I think yesterday's video that I did was the title of The Big Squat. I think that was a good example, because that was actually, yesterday was World Toilet Day, which, first of all, when I first saw it on Twitter, I laughed so hard because
I was going to die reading your article last night.
Yeah, because I didn't know how I missed it, because I was actually filming another video and I saw a tweet from somebody. I was like, wait a minute, it's World Toilet Day? I have to cover this. And you know, the Toilet Day is actually a serious issue. It's talking about people in third world nations, other countries that don't have proper sanitation, and you know, and how they have to be humiliated and squatting, and you know, blah blah blah. So it's a serious issue, but so I wanted to at least talk about the serious points. That's part of the education, but there are means of getting the word out by just stopping in the middle of the street whatever they're doing there in their office and just squatting for a minute. It just, I mean, to me, that's just the most hilarious picture ever. Can you imagine just walking down downtown, all of a sudden three people just stop and just squat on the ground and just stay there?
You know what? If I wouldn't have been as tired as I was last night, I was seriously going to record a video response of me just squatting in my office and post it as a video response to that. I was going to.
one of the things I do for Chris, for those of you that don't know, I help put together the newsletters every night that goes out, which pulls in links from the various sites in our community. And so I'm sitting here all serious and tired, and, you know, Friday night, it's, well, Saturday morning, it was like, what, 3 a.m, I think. Yeah. I'm like, God, let me get this done, and I'm pulling these links. I clicked on my locker note tab, and all of a sudden I see the big squat, pooping for a good cause. I was like, what? I lost it. I'm like, Lamar, what the hell? I did. I read the title. I'm like, oh, God, what the hell is Lamar doing? So I click it. Of course, that's what the title is for. People are going to click that.
Yeah.
I, of course, stopped what I was doing, clicked it, and I sat here going, I love this man.
Yeah, the humor removes a lot of the hate. It removes a lot of the boring stuff.
It draws people in. Easier for people to consume the difficult. Is that a good way to say it? It does. It makes
I think so.
Sugarcoats it.
I remember the first time I saw one of your videos, Lamar, and I was just, and I remember the first thing I thought to myself after I watched it was, damn, I wish I could get my news like this all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People would actually pay attention to news more if newscasters acted like Lamar.
Well, and to be honest, it's not a new fad. I mean, the majority of anybody under 40 years old at least takes a look at the Colbert Report, or they look at Jon Stewart. I mean, people love to get their news in a comedic way. I mean, they are masters at it, and I don't try to emulate them because I really watch them. But that concept of laughing and learning, I mean, you learn much more. When I taught in the classroom, I was the same person. I tried to make it like a stand-up show. The kids would come in, they never knew what to expect. So I was the only teacher to have the best attendance because I had the worst, so-called worst class of all the behavior, kids that everybody gave up on, and I had them in my room to try to, you know, build them up. And hey, that they loved the humor, they loved, you know, just the idea of someone caring about them, and that humor and laughter did that.
Yeah. With all the crap that's going on in the world, a lot of negative stuff, a lot of hate, a lot of just stuff, it's nice to be able to sit back, laugh about something, and just chill out.
Yeah.
You really need it, or you're just going to go insane.
Yeah. Now, and you know, there's...
Go ahead. Go ahead, Kat.
No, go ahead, Dylan.
Oh, I was just going to ask Lamar about something else, so while we're still on the topic, go ahead.
You know, I was just going to say, you know, to wrap that into a nice, neat little package. You know, other people do humor, yes. Lamar humanizes stories in a way that everybody can understand and everybody can relate to. And to me, that's the key, and it's perfect.
Yeah, and when I watch a lot of YouTubers...
Very well, Marilyn.
Yeah, well, and when I watch a lot of the, you know, YouTube, quote, comedians, I always, most of the time, I find myself thinking... Well, this is similar to, you know, whoever, somebody else's style. They're, you know, it seems like they're copying off this other person a little bit. You find that with most YouTubers, but I got to say, I've never seen anyone that has as unique of a style as Lamar does, and that's something that's very, very important when you're producing online content, is doing something totally unique.
I want to know how you came up with the whole chair spinning thing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay. All right. So some months ago, I had my office in a different format. So and the camera was further away, so it looked like I was behind a desk, and that was the way I did my videos for a while. In hindsight, never do that. You keep yourself away from an audience when you do that. But I did my videos for a while like that. So I've always done a little laugh at the camera since I started. I don't know why. It's just like a crazy thing. But okay, so I would get up, I would walk over to the camera as quick as I could to do the laugh and come back. And I did it for a few videos, and it took me like 3 videos to realize that every time I did it, that my chin was on an angle, whatever, just started spinning on its own. It started turning really slow in the background. I just thought it was the most hilarious thing.
It is.
So I just make it happen in almost every video that I do that in it. I laugh at it myself. I think it's the funniest thing because out of nowhere this chair is just magically turning in the background. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's great.
Also, my life is boring, or my world is boring. Whatever.
Mine is my world. Wheezy Waiter is my life. We're good friends, and he came up with his channel idea. He said he's going to do my life, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll do my world, because my side channel is called My World. So.
Now, and you know, thanks to you, I discovered Wheezy Waiter. I had never seen his videos before either. I must have been living under a YouTube rock or something for a while, but I found his channel thanks to a video you posted, and I've been subscribed to him ever since.
Yeah, he's the most underrated YouTuber that I know. He has a fantastic story. I just hit 100 videos like earlier this week. But when he hit 100 videos, he only had 32 subscribers, and he never gave up. And now a year later, he has over 200,000. And he is seriously getting popular. He just did it for the love of doing it. And I really try to emulate that idea. He's the one that told me, you need to start doing daily videos. There's no excuse not to do it. So
you gotta have passion.
Yeah, yeah. So I appreciate that. It's for you. But real quickly, I'll tell you all the reason about the peanuts and raisins, and I'll let you all get back to your show, because I know this is not all about me today. Okay, so I had them in the background one video, and people start commenting on them. And actually, prior to that, if you remember, I used to have my screensavers in the background, the same ones Chris Perla had on, just for some background stuff to happen. And people used to always be fixated on it. It's like, why are they not focusing on the video? So when I put the raisins and I start getting these comments, I was like, okay, this is a very interesting experiment. So the whole raisins peanut thing has been one giant psychological experiment. It's really been to see how well people can focus on what I'm talking about. Because if the comments are strictly about, oh my God, you have raisins, you're not focusing on me, you're focusing on everything that's happening in the background. It's just been a fun psychological thing. I've studied a little bit of that, being a teacher, whatever. So this was just funny.
Yeah. Now, Lamar, you do, I heard something about, so, you do a podcast as well.
I do a podcast called Life Plugged In. We're in week six or week seven. Yeah, we're going to week seven this week. I was with my friend Dave Moore, who I met at VidCon. He had some other people with their podcast, and yeah, it's we take tech and we just kind of unravel it and make it easy for people to understand. It's been playful subjects like games and should you cut cable and things like that. And I think this week we're gonna talk about security, like antivirus systems you should use. So it's just a fun podcast with me and my friend, and yeah, it's, I don't know if it's going to be successful, but I've always wanted to do one.
All right, sounds great. Lamar, where can we find that podcast at?
Actually, it's at lifepluggedin.com.
Lifepluggedin.com. Awesome. Be sure to check that out.
Talk to you this.
Thank you very much.
Head on over, check that out. Podcast? He's also at, you're at wilsontech1.com, I do believe.
Yes, that is my main website. And Kat, answer your question. The podcast, we do it every Monday. We record about 12:30, 1 p.m. and a day. It gets out within an hour or less.
Excellent.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, we do. I'm trying to lower turnaround times on this show as well. Last week's didn't get out, but usually when we do actually get to post the episodes, we try to get them up within 2 or 3 hours so people can download them right away. Now, I want to take a quick break. Lamar, hang on with us and everybody else, and everyone will still be on. We're going to go into our news stories for the week in just a minute. First, I want to take a quick break and talk about our friends over at CPCstudios.com. If you head over to CPCstudios.com, you'll find they do everything: web design, logo design, print designs, business cards, everything you need, and they do it extremely well and at great prices. Web development, everything from custom blogs built on WordPress to the impressive in-house CMS, or even your own custom content management system, custom application development, domain and website hosting, and more, and it's all priced very, very well. They're building my new site, and we really need it. If you head over to dylan.combs.tv, I've been using the same WordPress theme for like 3 years now, so we're gonna get rid of that, start from scratch, and we're going to build a great new site that it has to look like a podcast site. Right now it looks like a blog, and we're going to build a custom template, and it's going to be great. It's going to look like a podcast site. These guys are doing it for me, and I wouldn't trust anyone else to do it, because I know they can do it right. CPCstudios.com, check them out for yourself, and we might even be able to negotiate you a discount on web design services for yourself. So thanks to them for supporting our show here at Today in Tech. Now, Google Voice has come back to the iPhone. This is our first story for today. This is not the first time we've seen Google Voice on the iPhone, though. Earlier this year, there was a similar app released into the App Store, and then it was removed only days later because Apple said it didn't follow their terms of service for apps. However, it looks like this one is here to stay. It's been up for several days, and it's still there. With the new app, you'll have all the capabilities of Google Voice right on your iPhone without having to use their HTML5 web app that was previously available. Everything from cheap international calls to voicemail transcription and displaying your Google Voice number as your caller ID when you're making outgoing calls. And the most important part to me, anyway, the biggest deal to me, free text messaging to U.S. numbers. If you're in the U.S. and you have an iPhone, get Google Voice, because you don't have to worry about paying extra money for text messaging anymore. They've even got push notifications.
You know, I've never even used Google Voice, I admit it. And I do have an iPhone. I have an iPhone 4, and I've been thinking very seriously of getting this app, just because I think it might make my life a little bit easier.
Yeah, I use Google Voice for that. I use Google Voice for everything.
My life is insane, so.
Yeah, well, I've got three different phone numbers, and Google Voice is great. Yeah, Google Voice is great for that. I can have one number ring all my phones. I can do central text messaging through Google Voice. And with Gmail, if you're lucky enough to have the Gmail calling feature, that apparently not that many people actually have. I guess there was an issue with the rollout. Somebody told me that. But I have it, and I can set up my Gmail as one of my Google Voice numbers. And when you call it, it'll actually ring inside of Gmail, and I can answer the calls for free.
Nice.
That's how we're doing the show with you next week when you're away.
Oh, so I need Google Voice?
No, I'm just joking. Call in.
I'm joking. I know how it works. Okay. I was being a smartass.
Good.
I'm good at that, remember?
I love smartasses.
Well, at least I'm loved.
Yeah. So there you have it. Google Voice is back on the iPhone. I'm surprised Apple allowed this. I didn't think that they ever would.
Well, yeah. I think
stupid not to, and they know that.
I think they've been getting a lot of heat lately, and you know, even before this, they've decided to slow down and turn down the heat on their terms of service, and they're starting to allow a few more things. And I think this was a way of them saying, okay, yes, we're still going to control apps, yes, we're still going to control the environment, but we're going to put a little more leniency, because we don't want developers to feel like we are, you know, pushing too hard on them, because they're afraid if they're really too harsh, a lot of them could go to Android, and as Android grows, they could very well get a lot of the current developers that are using iOS, the SDK, and because Android is free, they don't have to pay for it, there's a huge incentive to go over there, so Apple is definitely playing with the competition here.
Aww. Sorry, I'm reading the chat room, and it's pretty cool to see that some of my quote-unquote, I hate this word, fans have started coming over and see them following the show and stuff, and they're laughing, saying that I should start doing videos about how insane my life really is.
How can you hate using the word fans? It makes you sound important.
I don't like the word fans. I don't want to be important. I
don't like the word either.
I don't like fans. I don't like followers.
I prefer viewers or listeners, or I don't know. Not me.
Friends. I'm not here to make fans. I'm not here to be famous. I'm not here to be a star. I'm here to make friends.
I'm personally here to have a good time and to educate people about tech. That's really what I like to do. And while doing that, I meet a lot of good people. Some of us become friends, and the community grows.
Exactly.
And that's a great thing about podcasts and videos and all this stuff. If you care enough, you can make your own world. And the biggest thing is interact with them. As Kat always says, don't talk at them, talk with them.
Yep. Absolutely.
And that will get you very far.
Absolutely. You've learned so well. I'm so proud, Bradley.
We're going to have to do a special one day just on
Bradley
community.
Is not a people person. I'll tell you that. He'll tell you that. But he's learning.
I'm a security extremist. I've told people
this. He's actually my intern, so... he's had to learn a lot about community lately, and he's doing really well. So I'm proud of that. Yes, I'm that important now. I have an intern.
Well, yeah, I gotta say, I am learning a lot, and it's great.
Excellent.
Lamar is
being so
quiet.
Can I just say something about the Google Voice?
Please do.
Oh, no. Okay, no, about the Google Voice story.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
That is, yeah, well, I'm in the Android in Google ecosystem. So, you know, I've had this natively for, you know, quite a while. And just recently, I was finally able to make it my main number. And I have to tell you that it's such a great feeling. You know, I took off the text package off of my phone because now I have this native app built into my phone that allows me to text over data. And, you know, so I'm actually saving money. I lowered my minutes. And Google Voice is just great. I mean, just the idea of being able to get rid of the cell phone's voicemail system and just use Google Voice and just have everything in the Google ecosystem. I can sit at my computer.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I don't get why Apple allowed this. I mean, I'm glad they did, but I'm just thinking typical Apple response should be, no, we're not going to let you download an app that'll allow you to easily cancel your text messaging plan, your long distance plan, and lower your minutes. We wouldn't want to do something like that.
Actually, I think AT&T would be the ones more angry about this than anything, because Apple doesn't care if AT&T loses money.
Well, okay, yeah, you're right. I don't know why I said Apple.
Apple wants their customers to be happy and safe at the same time, I think. And what they do, you know, it does anger a few people, but really what they do is for them, not AT&T. And you can see that because their exclusivity with AT&T is going to be gone soon.
You're right.
And that's one of the reasons they're... are allowing a lot more stuff because they don't have this hold on them that AT&T has had on them in their contract. So if they're going to be expanding the iPhone or other devices, you know, they have to be more open because Android is going to kill them in the open market if it's strictly based on openness. So that's why they had to allow these apps. They didn't have a choice. Yes.
And you know what? AT&T should be trying to keep Apple, and I think that's actually what they've been trying to do. And I think that's why Apple's been staying with AT&T for a while, because they've been buttering up AT&T to give them all these deals and special treatment. And I think Apple's gotten big enough and that they really don't care about AT&T anymore, and they're seeing a bigger market with other carriers. And they do need to compete with Android.
Yeah, I mean, Android sales have already overtaken iPhone sales. This was a story a couple months ago. So, I mean, that says it all. People are buying Android more than they're buying iPhone. I mean, and you can sit here and say, well, there's many more Android handsets than there are iOS devices. But Android is much more complicated. And if people are willing to buy it instead of the iPhone so that they can have these things, it is time for AT&T and Apple to end their exclusive deal. And I'm waiting. I'm waiting anxiously for the iPhone to get to other carriers. And I've been saying that for 3 years now.
Yeah. And regardless of my opinions about Apple and the iPhone, I personally, you know, I don't use the device. But I do have to say that I'm happy that it came on the scene, because what it did, it forced everybody to step up their game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, speaking of Apple, actually,
I'm mad at Apple. Go ahead, Bradley. Tell us about Apple.
Does anybody like the Beatles?
I do, but not that much.
Well, apparently Apple has finally got the Beatles on iTunes on November 16th, 2010. And I know we're all happy about it. But the day before they did this, they put up some slogan on their side saying, "This is going to be a changing day in your life. It's going to make everything different." I'm not sure how exactly it went.
It said, "Tomorrow the world will change and it will never be the same."
Yeah,
being a tech writer, I got out of bed way too early, even though I'm really sick. Or was that day, I was still really, really sick, literally. And I got up and I got dressed and I'm like, okay, this is going to be... And then the Beatles came.
And it's just like, eh.
Exactly.
What the
big,
heck?
Big yawn.
You know, it's great. I'm glad we've got the Beatles on iTunes. I admit, I will be buying some of the songs. I do love the Beatles. But my problem is, why the hell did they overhype it this much?
Because they were one of only like three bands that just flat out refused to sell their music online. It's them and Prince and somebody else. I don't know who the other one is. Someone that doesn't even matter.
Well, according to Prince 6 months ago, I wrote that story. Prince said the internet was going to die in a couple of years. So, hey.
It's full of numbers, and that can't be good.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The funny thing is Apple... They're probably going to have the Beatles exclusively for a couple months here, and because Apple is so good with advertising, they knew they could get away with this, and they knew they could get everyone in the mass media onto this. And I think that's kind of why the Beatles decided to do this, because they knew if anyone, Apple would be able to advertise the Beatles like crazy, and they would get these sales.
Well, look, go ahead.
I was just going to say that anybody who has an iPod or in the Apple ecosystem, if they wanted Beatles, trust me, they have the Beatles already.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
they got the box set. I mean, seriously, it's, if you want the Beatles, you're going to get the Beatles.
And I was going to say, I mean, seriously, why would any band or any musician refuse to sell their music online? It's going to get online anyway. If you refuse to sell your music or your whatever content you're producing online, it's just going to get pirated. That's exactly what's going to happen. If I can't go and conveniently download it for 99 cents, I'm going to go and conveniently download it from the Pirate Bay. And so is everybody else.
The who? What? I wouldn't know. I don't do that.
Exactly.
I actually don't. I never have. People don't believe me, but...
MSDN.
That's legitimate. I get MSDN for free for being a Microsoft MVP.
Yeah,
that's not illegal. I get that legitimately. Make sure everybody knows that.
I know. I'm just saying that's better than the Pirate Bay.
Well, no, I wanted to make sure that listeners knew that I'm not, like, stealing crap from Microsoft. Yeah.
I don't anymore, and the only reason is because I have Rhapsody now.
Microsoft loves Cat.
Windows 8.
Microsoft loves Cat.
Yeah, they do. And I will be there in Seattle for the end of February for the next MVP convention. And I guess Ballmer is already confirmed to be our keynote, and I'm very excited about that. Because I'm going to tell you what, whether you love or hate Steve Ballmer, the man is a freaking dynamic speaker.
Yeah.
He truly is. He comes out on that stage. I had never heard him speak. I had never seen a video of him speak. Nothing.
Less
he
born came out than Gates.
2 years ago at MVP Summit, and my mouth hit the floor.
He's better speaker than Gates.
Oh, yeah.
Gates was just like, introducing Windows XP.
You know, even if you don't like Steve Ballmer or how he's running the company, what he's doing, or you don't like Microsoft, you have to admit, if you stop and listen to him for 5 minutes, Steve Ballmer has so much passion for what he's doing.
Sorry, I had to.
Exactly. You know, we're totally off subject now, but I have to tell this story. One of my favorite all-time moments, probably in my adult lifetime, is at that summit. You know, we all know Vista sucked. Let's just put it on the table. Everybody knows Windows Vista sucked. But Microsoft would never admit it. They would not admit they made a mistake, and that drove people batshit crazy. So we're at Summit 2 years ago, and you're talking over 3,000 people from all over the world, literally all over the world, sitting in this room. We're the advocates. We're their front line. We don't get paid for this crap. We're the ones who are out there in the trenches on the internet every single day helping people cope and deal and work with Windows or any Microsoft product, okay? That's what we do. That's why we're MVPs. Steve Ballmer gets on that, and he stood there very quietly, very unmoving, and he said, Windows Vista. We screwed up. Only it wasn't the word screwed. It was the F word, which I'm not going to say on the podcast.
Thank you.
Why the fuck not?
But, you know, to me, nobody moved for about 10 seconds. There was not a sound. And then 3,000 people were on their feet screaming and clapping because finally somebody listened, and they acknowledged it, and then he said, okay, this is what we're going to do, and that's when we found out about Windows 7. So to me, I mean, that was huge. The man himself stood there in front of us and said, you know what, you're right. We screwed it up, and we're sorry. Here's how we're going to fix it.
And Gates would have done that. I mean, even Bill Gates did a really good job of bringing Microsoft off the ground, but I don't think he would have admitted.
Right.
And you know what? The Windows 7, and I think that it was probably the biggest leap Microsoft has ever made. And they put it in the hands of the users. What did the users want? What did the beta test want? What did the people that actually use this for real world purposes think about it?
You know, a lot of the haters made fun of the whole Windows 7 was my idea campaign, but it's true. Windows 7 was my idea because I... tester from XP all the way till now. Windows 8. Nothing more is going to be said on that subject because I can't. However, you know, I gave them feedback. I told them this doesn't work. This is how it should be. It wasn't only me, no, but Windows 7 was my idea. And to me, that was a brilliant piece of marketing right there. No. And that's what companies need to do. They need to freaking listen to their consumers.
Yeah.
So I don't care if you hate Microsoft. You got to admit, they're doing that right. They're listening to what people want.
Yeah, and I think with
Windows... And even more so with Windows 8. Zip lips.
Well, what I can guarantee you, as soon as the beta pushes out for Windows 8, believe me, I'm going to be there testing it and giving feedback. Especially when they're offering it for free and they're allowing me to use this before release date. I think it's... we're obligated to give feedback, because otherwise we can't complain about something if we were given the opportunity to give feedback. It's like not voting and then bitching about your senator didn't get in and he didn't pass the right legislation. If you don't put in your effort, if you're allowed to, you can't complain. You just can't do it.
Right. Well, Eric, it's not just because I'm a beta tester. As an MP, I'm actually under, we were told this by our lead, our NDAs as MVPs is actually tighter than many of the employees at Microsoft. So that's the reason I can't really say a whole lot. On another show earlier, we talked about Windows 8, and I just sat here like a mute.
Can we have an exclusive comment. once you're allowed to talk about it? Can we talk about
the
it?
The day that my embargo is lifted on certain things, you bet it will do a DCL special and
to
the world. You know, so let's go out with the old and with the new, shall we?
Absolutely.
So anybody that follows me on Twitter knows that I am a huge fan of Popstar Pink. I absolutely adore her personality, her music, her style, you know, on and on. And so I follow her on Twitter. And the other day, I'm sitting here and I see, I use TweetDeck. So, of course, my notifications float by on my screen as I'm working. And I halfway pay attention at times. And I saw her say something and I'm like, whoa, wait, what? So I click on it. I'm like, whoa, she just announced she's pregnant. That's great. So I'm happy for her. And then it took me about maybe 20 seconds. And I'm like, whoa, wait, this is big. And you're sitting there now wondering why the hell this has anything to do with technology. I know this. Give me just a moment to explain, my dear friends. Pink is huge. She is a massive megastar. She announced her pregnancy on Twitter. She didn't hire a PR firm. She didn't send out a fucking stupid little dry, boring press release. That's the way things used to be done. More frequently and more these days, we are seeing celebrities, stars, you know, musicians, entertainers, actors, Ashton Kutcher, hello, you know, sports stars. They're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. Well, okay, not Facebook as much, because that's not as public. Twitter. Let's talk about Twitter. They are announcing their life on Twitter. They're being real. They're being human.
And you know what?
To our level, instead of being so unattainable.
And no more.
That's huge.
No more lying PR departments.
Exactly.
I'm sick and tired of them.
You know, I really think this is indicative of a huge paradigm shift in the way things are being done. I helped Chris put this story together on his site. The night it broke, I'm like, you know, Pink is pregnant, and everybody's looking at me like, who the hell cares? But I'm like, but think about it, you know, every day we see more people, more brands, and more businesses than ever turning to Facebook fan pages and Twitter and all the other dialed-in networks to spread their messages. And by doing this, they're bringing a personal touch into what they're doing online. They're not just announcing tour dates or telling us the hot new product. They're not dry and boring like the traditional PR companies were.
Kat,
humanize themselves, and to me that's hot. Yes.
Kat, I have something to tell you.
Please.
Okay, this is very serious, so make sure. when I become pregnant, I will officially announce it on Twitter and make sure that you are the first one.
You know,
to
I gotta
reply to it.
I got
the next junior.
I gotta tell you, funny. A couple, well, no, it's been Bradley, 2 months ago, my nephew got hurt.
Yeah.
Literally could have almost died. He was stupid. He's 13.
Was it on Facebook or Twitter, though?
It was Facebook. He's 13 and he's a boy, so that explains everything, the lack of brains. And he was mad because he locked himself out of the house and my sister was at work, and so he punched the window to get in. Pop goes almost everything in his arm, severed the tendon, on and on. So anyway.
That's a horrible idea.
My sister posts to Facebook to inform our family that my nephew is seriously critically injured. He lost a lot of blood. He passed out in the hospital from the blood loss. Didn't call me, didn't call my mother, nothing. Just posted on Facebook. And so we're having a cow about it, right? So my daughter tells me, Mom, if you ever die, make sure you have a new post on Facebook so I'll know.
Oh, God.
So the other night I was sick and I said on Twitter, I'm like, oh my God, I think I'm dying. And she like calls me from upstairs. She goes, "You're supposed to do on Facebook."
Wait, she called you in the same house?
Yeah, because I keep the door locked from the inside to where my room and my office are, because otherwise a little 3-year-old Jenna comes down here constantly and I never get anything done.
Lamar, they...
So there's a check on the inside of the door.
Lamar, they text each other in the same house.
Constantly, yeah.
I've seen some of my friends sit next to
me. Not that we're lazy, it's just I have the door locked to prevent the little ones. If I'm busy working, I can't have them down here every 10 seconds or I'll never get anything done. So she can't get down here. But yeah, it's just, you know, as I said, it's mainstream media and television and newspapers. You can't say they're dying, no, but they're definitely not, in my opinion, not our main source for consumption of any.
You're not gonna get the truth. You're gonna get a bunch of right wing fanatics who just tell you all this crap.
Absolutely. It's true, though. It's sad. And, you know, Nick, I hope you don't kill me for this. Nick is one of our regular community members, good friend of mine. He's in our chat room right now, live.combs.tv. And Nick and Bradley and I had a discussion the other night in a private channel, and we were talking about politics and things here in the United States. Nick lives in Australia, and he quoted an article or said something about our politics, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was completely wrong. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And so he gives me this link, and I'm like, see, this is the problem. And it's not Nick's fault. He didn't do anything wrong. It's the media that I blame. Nick knows, or anybody else in another country doesn't live here and has not experienced what it's really like in our country or in Australia or in the UK. It's not just here. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
If you haven't been here, you know what our media wants you to know. Period.
Yep.
End of story.
Puppet master. The puppet master.
You don't really know what it's like, and you can't. Because you're not being told the full story. You're being told what they want you to know.
You're being told in most cases. That's all it is.
Well, we're not gonna go into politics on this show, but I will do this. You guys want to know why newspapers are going out of business?
The internet's a big one. And it's not very environmentally friendly.
People want access to the truth, and that's what we get on the internet. We don't get that.
And that, too.
I'm gonna play like 10 seconds of this. This is now one of my favorite quotes.
If you rickroll me, I will beat you
in
2 weeks.
This is now one of my favorite quotes on the internet. Listen to this.
Good morning, Hank. It's Monday. So yesterday I was reading the newspaper. This is a newspaper, Hank. It's like the internet, only it doesn't update. It's not interactive. It's printed on very thinly sliced trees, and it's not free. It's a wonder these guys are having trouble staying in business.
That is now one of my favorite quotes ever.
Send me that link. I want that. Put that in the show notes.
I love the Vlogbrothers.
Yes, yeah. that is Hank Green. Yes.
Good friend of mine. Yeah, he's really cool.
Oh,
and
you know him.
Rich is right. Let me interject this. Another chatter. He says, newspapers are moving to the internet in a big way now using Twitter and Facebook. And that's true. I talked a couple weeks ago about this. I think it was this show. There was a huge murder case out, I believe it was Vermont. It was on the East Coast. I think it was Vermont. And, you know, the journalists are sitting in the courtroom and they're live and tweeting the trial. The newspaper journalists were tweeting the trial. They weren't sitting there writing a story and then going running for a phone in the hallway and calling it in. They were tweeting the entire thing. So they are moving. They're getting a little bit of a clue. And it's slowly getting there. They're learning. It can't be easy. I mean, think of it that way. If you have, let's take, you know, the Huffington Post or the New York Times, and you're trying to integrate that, you're completely changing what you've done for hundreds of years. It can't be easy to do, to find that balance. So I give them credit. At least they're trying to break into more of the way we want to consume our media. That's what I think, anyway. I could be totally wrong.
They're still doing it wrong. They can't compete. They can try to go online, but... I mean, at the end of the day, I'm sure a lot of other people think like me. I'm not going to go to a newspaper's website. I'm just not going to go. I might if I get linked, but I'm just not going to go there first looking for anything.
But you did read the Huffington Post article the other day, right?
I did.
Well, they've always been an online newspaper, though.
My name was in that, so it was important.
They've always been online, so it's never really been a print paper.
Yeah, the newspapers that have realized that always have been online are the ones that are doing really good right now, and the ones that aren't putting themselves behind a paywall, because then you're just going to fail. I mean, anyone can get news anywhere for free. You put it behind a paywall, you're done.
Yeah, I think the dumbest thing that New York Times did was saying they want it out of the Google News. Let me tell you something. If I had one of my blog posts put on the Google News page, I wouldn't be complaining about anything, because that's where the majority of their links probably came from. And then for them to go behind a wall and say, you know, only our news here, it's stupid, because I'll just go to the next link that's in the list. I don't have to go to the New York Times. I don't care about the New York Times.
Dude, being featured on Google should be a huge benefit.
Yeah, because if they have ads on their site, it's only going to benefit them. It's just asinine. I cannot comprehend that.
They're just whiny little babies who want to sit there and think they can do it on their own, have nothing to do with the internet, and think because they have some little exclusive source that sooner or later everyone else gets to, they can put it behind a paywall. Let me tell you something. You can go to 10 other news sites and find everything they claim premium, and it really doesn't matter.
Do you know what? Do you know what to me is the number one most important, and some people are going to think I've lost my mind again, or what's left of it. The number one most important source for me for breaking news.
I know.
Was news. Wrong.
No, Dylan? I know.
Don't say dig.
Dylan, what is it?
Tech meme.
Nope.
No?
You're all wrong. Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
It's true. Let me tell you why. Some of you have heard the story, so I apologize. Over the summer, we had some massive, nasty tornado outbreaks here in the Midwest, in Illinois and Indiana. I was online, of course, and I didn't even know there were tornadoes coming because I'm in Indianapolis. My mom is in central Illinois. And a friend of mine, who I follow on Twitter, started tweeting, talking about there was massive tornado touchdowns, and the town just west of her literally was half of it was leveled by a tornado, literally. And she's like, they're moving east. And I'm like, holy crap, this is my mom. So I quickly go to com and I see the radar and I'm like, holy shit. I called my mom long before the weather service knew the tornado was coming to my mom's house. I knew it because of Twitter, and I told her what was happening. People, this is happening constantly. You guys, think about it. Well, people who are on the scene where anything is happening, what are they doing? They're tweeting it.
Okay, well, Kat,
I find out a lot of crap before I get anywhere else.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm not denying that Twitter is valuable for that.
It's
for
a good starting point.
Okay, my point is, if you here's where Twitter fails in that sense. If you are following multiple people, oh Dylan, you follow 20,000 people, you're not going to see that breaking news.
Let me tell you this.
I know you're using a list. I mean, that just makes sense. You know?
Yeah.
But you know, but in general, if you're following a couple hundred people, the chances are the news that you want to see has already passed in your stream. So that's why I'm still a diehard Google Reader fan, because within a few minutes it's in my RSS reader. That's just me. I do follow breaking news. Yeah.
You know, like I said, I went to, what did I do? I saw that from my friend, and I went to the source, to weather.com. And that happens. If I see anything happening or breaking on Twitter, I'm like, wait, what? And then I know to go and look for more information and find out the stories.
I think
they rely on Twitter. I should have said that.
I think the big thing here everyone's trying to say is we're cutting out the middleman, which is unnecessary, and we are getting the direct information from the people who witnessed it. We're getting a more accurate emotional response from people, so we can know this crap before it has to be verified through any other service. That's what happened with Michael Jackson. That's what happened with tornadoes.
Can you imagine how the world or the events or anything would have been different had Twitter on 9/11?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I'll tell you what I do is, obviously, like Lamar said, I follow 20,000 people. Actually, I just passed 20,000 today because I've got 20,461 followers at twitter.com/DylanJonesTV. So I leave Hootsuite open on my desktop all day if I'm here. And I've got three columns. I've got a column called People I Really Follow that's got about 300 people in it. I've got my at replies column. And then I have my third one is Robert Scoble's list of most influential in tech. I love that list.
Yay me. Oh, sorry. There's another really good list that you should follow. And it's the top Shell Israel's top real 100 people in social media. And I honestly don't just say that because I'm on that list. I got on that list, and I was at Chris's house. It was after Gnome Dex, and he was gone in Texas, Lamar, when you were partying with Ice Water with him.
Yes,
I will never forget that. Lamar tweeting, I party with Perillo in Texas, and we're drinking Ice Water. But I was at the house with Ime house sitting, and I was in bed, and of course, what am I doing scanning Twitter on my iPhone in bed? And Whisper and Pixie are laying there with me, and Shell Israel added me to this list, and I'm like, wait, what, me? Okay, why? And I go running through Krista's house in my pajamas yelling at Ime. But you know, this list is one that I follow. The people in this list to me are invaluable, because when you get one like that, it's people who actually really have something to say. And so being included on something like that for me was just, it was one of the most important moments in my career. It truly was. So anytime you find a good list, like Dylan mentioned, Scoble's People in Tech, you know, these people take the time to make a list of the people who really matter and are going somewhere and are doing things. That's the ones you should look to follow. So that's my little soapbox thing for today.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're only one?
For now. So we're each going to do one more story, because we are having, I don't know about you guys, but I think this is one hell of a show.
This has been a great, great show. And
So we each have two stories left on our list. Everybody pick one. And Dylan, why don't you go? And let's talk about something on Dylan's side of the world.
I saw this story, and I had to do it for reasons that Kat knows. Did Hot Topic reverse troll 4chan? I love doing 4chan and anonymous stories. They're my favorite.
Yay, 4chan.
Image board and meme factory 4chan created the wildly popular Rage Guy comic meme. Retailer Hot Topic has picked this up, and they're making Rage Guy meme t-shirts. And get this, 4chan's response to this, in my mind, is hilarious. It may be totally wrong, but it's hilarious. 4chan got pissed when Hot Topic decided to do this. They were like, that's our meme, that's Rage Guy, you can't put that on shirts and sell it, and 4chaners got pissed. So 4chan plans to turn Rage Guy into a racist character by creating racially insensitive comics to scare off Hot Topic. Hot Topic admits defeat on Facebook, and they have now claimed that they're going to discontinue the Rage Guy t-shirt because 4chaners turned it into a racist meme. That is so wrong on so many levels, but seriously, LOL.
You don't mess with 4chan. You know what? Half the idiots that sit there in Hot Topic wouldn't exist without 4chan. How about that?
Absolutely, you're right.
Well, seriously. I say anything bad about 4chan here, because, you know,
we
love you, but I will talk bad about Tumblr. And I hate Tumblr. I hate people who tweet Tumblr links. I don't hate the people. I hate that they do it. But Tumblr really were the only ones to stand up to 4chan, and looks like they won that little battle they had last week. And good for them. I don't like either one of them, but Tumblr would seem to be the only one to actually stand up to them.
You know why they won, right?
I heard that story. But enlighten me, because I don't.
Okay, I do. Did. I do. I will. First of all, let me tell you this. I know for a fact that I wouldn't say a decent portion, but a fairly small portion of our audience are 4chaners. And I'll just say I've been there a time or two. What ended up happening was the plan was that they were going to post the IP addresses to launch the DDoS attack on for Tumblr. And what happened was some 4chan members or users didn't like the idea, didn't want to do it, so they started creating more threads and posting 4chan's own IP addresses, and everyone started attacking those, and they took themselves down and never attacked Tumblr.
Well, you know, beyond all this, I think the really important thing is, yeah, there's a lot of nasties on 4chan, and a lot of weirdos on 4chan, but, you know, the entity that is 4chan stands up for one specific purpose that has been debated ever since the internet's existence: uncensored everything.
So, oh yeah, absolutely.
Network neutrality, just everything like that. And just one thing 4chan has always been advocating is everything to be open, everything to be free, everything be, you know, without this stuff trying to be hidden or raked into something else. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of problems going on with them.
You know, people talk shit about 4chan, but the thing with 4chan is it's very unique. I mean, there's other, you know, anonymous chans out there.
Yeah, there's some
icky
stuff on there.
Oh yeah, there is. But the nice thing about 4chan is it offers something on a large site that no other large site can offer, and that is you can go there, you can go to any board you want, any category, and you can essentially post anything you want that's not illegal. Anonymously. You can say whatever you want, share whatever you want, completely anonymously to thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
Oh, Gabe, you're not exactly correct. He said Chain is censored with nothing but child pornography and gore, and that's not true. Yes, you're going to find some icky stuff there. But that's not all that it's about, and you find that a wrong conception if you think that.
If somebody said they censored gore, just go and check out the gore threads that run all the time.
Well, you know what? 4chan is a great political machine, in my opinion. Especially with all the IRAA sitting there sucking off people who can't pay these ridiculous fines and stuff because they stole a couple songs. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. And I think 4chan, while everybody's DDoSing each other, nobody's going to be able to out-DDoS 4chan. And in the long run, it's just stupid to sit there and try and battle with these fan people. As a public, we don't want censorship. We don't want crap. We don't want people's lives being ruined because they stole a public song or copyrighted materials. Yeah, it's wrong, and they should be fined somewhat, but not nearly as much as they are now. And I think it's one thing 4chan has stood up for, along with Anonymous, along with all the open source community.
They always have, and they always will, because 4chan's view, we discussed this in a previous show, 4chan, you know, the users there say, hey, well, either prosecute everybody that's pirating or prosecute nobody, and there's no middle ground there. You can't pick and choose. That's not fair.
And you won't be able to prosecute everyone.
Exactly, because half the people in this country would be in jail.
Yeah, good luck with that. And you know what? Too many people are going bankrupt and sent to jail over stupid petty crap when you really need to start worrying about people that are surfacing child porn and predators and people who are doing pyramid schemes and all that kind of crap. That's who you need to start worrying about. Forget about this copyright stuff. And you know what? To be honest with you, there's been a lot of studies and a lot of real-world situations where material from a band or someone's personal stuff was put out on the Pirate Bay. They said nothing about it. They didn't really care. Their sales doubled, even tripled, and then people started buying it like crazy legally.
Exactly. You know, I've said it before on other shows, and I'll say it again. Piracy helps. Does it take away from their? Does it possibly take away from some people's profits a bit? Absolutely. But in the long run, it encourages more people to go and buy things legally. It's just like, you know, when we had that discussion 2 or 3 weeks ago about people who pirate video games, play through single player, and then buy it for multiplayer. I admitted to doing that with Grand Theft Auto 4 back in 2007 when that came out. I was broke. I didn't have $60 to buy GTA 4, but you know what? After I played single player, I came up with $60 and bought it so I could get multiplayer and the extra content. Yeah. And if I had never pirated it, I would have never bought it. And that's
I know people that do. My sister does that, I think, or she used to. I don't know. She'll listen. You know, a new album comes out, and she's not sure if she wants to go spend the money on it, either to download or, you know, buy the physical CD, and she'll download one song off of, you know, one of the P2P clients and listen to it, and she's like, oh, I love this, and she'll go and spend the money for the full disc.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people do that.
Yeah, and you know what, the truth is, a lot of people don't want to just go out and sit there and steal, but they want to make sure they're getting their money's worth, exactly. And in most cases, they do feel they're getting their money's worth, and they're going to go and buy it, and they're going to go talk to it to their friends, and they're going to encourage people to go out and buy it. I don't advocate stealing, but I do think that it is put off to such a big deal about it, and it needs to be toned down a little bit. As Nick says, it's a minor offense, like a parking ticket, even less than a parking ticket. You're not even putting anyone's life in danger in this case.
So, you know, we're talking about ways that people are infiltrating our lives and things like that by this, and that actually works perfectly into my next story. So let's go. I want to jump on it.
Oh, I wanted to get Lamar to talk about piracy. I was interested in what Lamar has to say.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm not touching this subject.
You get Lamar going on that. We're going to be here a while.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
No,
give us the short question.
Okay, you know, seriously, I will keep it to a few sentences because I just have different opinions on it currently.
It's okay. Go as long as you want. We can run about another 20, 30 minutes.
Right. Okay.
So I have, you know, back in the day when there was no fuss about it, sure, you know, we all got our music and alternative ways. I think now that you can listen to 30-second clips, you can download things for an affordable price, you can TV channels are everywhere. I mean, TV shows and movies and things, Netflix streaming, and so I think the need has been removed. And you know, I've heard the because I did a video on this on Locker Gnome channel. There's a lot of comments. It was probably one of my most commented videos. But my single most conclusion is people argue that, well, I couldn't afford it, so I just had to have the CD. And my argument is, if you can't afford it, and you don't need to have it, it's not saying that if you're poor you don't get the good stuff. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there's certain benefits to having money. You cannot walk into a grocery store and apply the same logic that I'll just take this because I can't afford it. So again, no matter how nice I say that in videos, people will always have their own opinion because they say it's sharing, it's not stealing, you can't compare the two. So that's why I stay neutral. I don't know why
people are making a big deal out of it now. Piracy has always been around. If you think about it, downloading it off the internet is just the new latest way, whether we're copying CDs, recording songs.
When Lamar and I were in high school, we would share cassette tapes. We would tape songs off the radio room boxes.
I'm sorry,
I'm not
that old.
We didn't know it was stealing. Lamar, honey, you ain't that much younger than me, okay? Go make me a sandwich and hush.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know what a cassette tape.
But we did, you know, and it was, you got to make the mixtape and give it to the girlfriend or the boyfriend. But we didn't know it was stealing back then. There's been so much, again, media hype behind that.
But you know what?
It's a huge issue.
You got to understand, I don't agree with stealing. I don't agree with people blatantly pirating and stealing things, because you're right. If you can't afford it, then you don't get it. That's just logic. But I think it is criminal to fine people millions of dollars
for
stuff that costs $10, $20. I think you should be fined maybe $50, even $100 if you did it a lot, and be slapped on the wrist and told, okay, don't do it again, and here's some alternatives. And ever since iTunes made it even 90-second previews to songs, I think there's a lot less incentive to piracy. I think DRM is slowly starting to die, and that started with iTunes. And I think when DRM does not...
It started with Amazon.
Oh, yeah, Amazon. Yeah.
They were first.
But once DRM starts being drowned out and is not really you, and once the IRAA is slapped on the wrist, hopefully by Congress or something, about these outrageous laws, I don't think there's going to be that rebellious factor anymore. And I think people are going to calm down. People are going to, for the most part, stop doing this unless they're just cheap bastards.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mark's
video on this, actually, in the comment on YouTube, one thing that got me going, and I admit that I jumped into the comment thread and made a lot of nasty counter comments, but it's not that, oh, I can't afford it. That's not the argument that I saw the most in that. Lamar, think about it. If you read through all of the comments, there were a lot. I don't know at what point you stopped going back to old videos, but I have to do that regularly. A lot of it was because I do it because I can.
Yeah.
To jump off a freaking bridge because you can? I mean,
okay, think about it like this. When there's DRM involved, think of it like this. So I go on iTunes, I pay 99 cents for a song, download it. Okay, now I want to put that song on my non-Apple MP3 player.
I can't do that,
so now I have to go in and I have to strip the DRM out of it and waste my time doing that. And by doing that, now I'm violating copyright and breaking laws. And then once I strip the DRM out, then I can put it on whatever I want. Or I could just go and download it and not pay for it and not have DRM on it. That's why people are doing it.
Well,
go ahead.
I think if you took out the DRM out of the equation, I think there would be really no true excuse to pirate.
I agree.
I agree with the issue about the DRM, because back in the day, you know, when Microsoft, I forgot the format, it was WMA that was protected, and I had a lot of songs that I bought under the, you know, I forgot what different stores there were out there that you could buy. I think when Napster became legal or some other stores. But then when I got other devices, we don't play this, so... You know, all $20-$30 that I bought worth of music is now, you know, just gone because I couldn't convert it. So I hear you. I think those are legitimate points. I've dealt with it. It sucks. Mm-hmm. And you have alternative methods to make things work for you. If I buy a DVD, why can't I put it on my script so I can stream it whenever I want to as a download? So I understand that, you know, sir. But at the end of the day, I still care about the company because I'm a company. I'm a media person, and so if I start making paid content, I would be pissed if somebody was taking my stuff and put it online and letting people have it for free. That would bother me. So I have to look at it from the perspective of you know, yeah. If I was a business, because people say it doesn't cause a direct loss. Sure, it does. If 50% of the people are getting their stuff pirated, and they could have bought it, at your store, then you're losing.
But let me ask you this: say you're doing decent in sales, suddenly your new album goes up on the Pirate Bay, and a million people download it, and then your sales go way up. Are you still going to complain?
I never said I was going to complain. I mean, that's a philosophical question. I would hope they would just shut up and not say anything. At that point, see, that's why I don't like taking. I don't want to take a side in this because my moral upbringing is different from a lot of people. So I cannot put what I believe on other people.
So here's the thing. I believe, all this stuff is in a way wrong, one way or another. But the thing is, if you look at it logically, you can understand why people do it without agreeing with what they're doing. Like me, I understand why people do this because of the DRM, because maybe they don't have the money or something. Doesn't mean I agree with it, but I do understand a lot of the reasons why people pirate things. And yeah, I think
so do
that,
I.
And the only one that pisses me off, like I said, is that I do it because I can.
Yeah.
Real quick, I gotta give a Kat, can I give a shout out to the one person?
I don't care.
I have to.
Go ahead.
I have to give a shout out to the Chris Perillo, who I've just been informed listening into our show.
Never
right
heard of
now.
Him.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for listening.
Never heard of him. Who's he?
I don't know. Some guy I do videos for on YouTube. I don't know.
Oh, Lamar. Wilson Tech One. That's who he puts. Yeah, I've heard of him once or twice.
Exactly.
I know Lamar. Who's that Chris guy?
Right? Exactly.
I just had him on my show one
it's
time.
It's all about Wilson Tech One.
I heard Chris was a mythical creature. That's what I heard.
I'm sure. I'm truly the non-existent one here. Everyone else has a direct connection to Locker. I'm just a guy behind the scenes.
We just brought you along. You're my intern. I give you things to do. I teach you.
Pretty much. I'm fine.
So, how much, guys, would you say your online lives are tethered to your offline life?
Not very... Honestly, not very much.
In your case, I know, because you don't even do Facebook.
No. I keep my family separate from my online world just to prevent the drama, and because, as you know about my personal life, a lot of my family, is...
Yeah, I know. And I understand why.
Yeah.
You don't have
to. That's my reason. And I know it's different for other people, and I respect
that.
For
most people, though, if you think about it, most people nowadays, your online life is literally tethered to your offline. And it's one and the same in many cases. And it's sort of almost becoming scary, though, to a point. And this story is another reason that you have to take your privacy seriously on places like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, and I don't even freaking know where else. I'm not going to name them all. Holy crap. That'd be a show and a half. Debt collection agencies are now stalking people who owe money on Facebook. There's a woman in Florida who... Not only did a debt collector post to her wall, he started friend requesting her connections, friends, family, what have you. And oddly enough, a lot of those people obviously accept this person. That is a whole nother story for another day. He started posting to their walls. And this is just, it blew my mind. And from the debt collection agency standpoint, Facebook is a beautiful thing. I mean, it's easy. They don't have to pay a private investigator to go hunt somebody down that owes them money and doesn't want to pay their bills or can't pay their bills. All they can do is log into Facebook.
Well, this should be illegal or against terms of service or something.
It should. And let me finish. Facebook has already warned these people and said, this has got to stop. Mm-hmm. It's not only against our policy, it's particularly against state, federal laws and FTC regulations. So this is hugely controversial. But the scary thing to me, this company in question that's being is called Mark One. That's the name of the debt collection agency. So go out there and stalk them back. They actually have a policy in place on how to use Facebook to track people down. which was where I got my opening question. This is yet another indication that our online lives are tethered to our offline lives, but not just in the fun ways.
Yeah, and you know what? I've always had the opinion that debt collection agencies, while they do help people who have been scammed, their methods are borderline criminal and skunkish. Right. And I really don't think that emotionally disturbing an individual who failed to pay something is the right way to go about it. Yes, you do need to contact them, and yes, you probably do need to bring in the law for most of them to comply. This kind of stuff is just harassment, in my opinion.
And you know, how are you going to draw a line on Facebook? The law states, I am going to assume all over this country, can't say that for a fact, I'm not an attorney in every state in this country, but I know for a fact in Illinois or Indiana, if, let's say, one of my brothers or a friend owes a debt and it goes to collection, and they had me listed as a reference, that collection agency is going to start calling me to try to get in touch with them. If I tell them to never call me again, they have to stop.
And they don't.
Always, but they have to. Now, how do you draw that line on Facebook? If that were to happen on Facebook and a debt collector posts to me to my wall or something and says, you know, so-and-so owes us money, have them contact me, is it enough for me to say, do not contact me again? I mean, yeah, I can block them, but that's not the point. The point is, you know, they're moving into this very scary realm, in my opinion. It's going to be interesting to see, and I'm going to watch very closely this case in Florida to see how this pays off or plays out.
I think
bad play on words there, wasn't it?
I think privacy laws need to be re-amended.
It's not
and
about laws, though, Bradley. We you and I bitch about this every single day. People need to get smart.
Stop. Yeah, I know
where you live.
I know that, but nonetheless, these companies are such pawn scum.
I agree.
They are going to do what they can to harass the crap out of you, and we need federal laws to protect people. Even if they are doing the right things, they still get screwed over this. Yeah. We need to have these bastards put in jail. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
That's all I'm going to say about it.
At the end of the show, we're going to spam ourselves and give our email and addresses and stuff. So anybody listening, I would love to hear what your thoughts are on this. Please email me when you get my email address later. Do you think, forget the laws, forget the FTC regulations, do you think it's morally correct for companies to do this way? I would love to have more discussions about this because I am doing some research for a follow-up story for Chris. So, and he's probably sitting going, wait, what? Awesome.
So, all right, real quick, I need to get in this last an update on the Stuxnet virus, which has been a thing going on for a while, which has been attacking SCADA systems, and a lot of people are suggesting it was targeted towards Iran's nuclear supply, and an update suggests that this infection has been slowly increasing and decreasing the fluctuations of the uranium supply. And it says, new and important evidence found in a sophisticated Stuxnet malware targeting industry control systems provides strong hints that the code was designed to sabotage nuclear plants and that it employs a subtle sabotage strategy that involves briefly speeding up and slowing down physical machinery at a plant over a span of weeks. And I think it was Symantec has been looking into this really deeply, and so has McAfee. And basically, this has been one of the most sophisticated pieces of malware that we've ever seen. And it is strongly suggested that it has been written by a government, and it has been written for a specified targeted attack. And now we are seeing that it is targeting a nuclear uranium supply, degrading the uranium itself to where it can't be used. Yes, and essentially sabotaging the nuclear power of Iran. So this is an example of true, realistic cyber warfare. It's a very serious thing that's going on. And,
you know what scares me?
What?
I mentioned this earlier in our other show. I came across the story last night when I was wrapping up for the day and looking for something to write about so I could finish my work for the week. And my mouth hit the floor. Tiger in our chat room, I talk about her every week. She's my mentor in the security world. She's going to love this. A study was done, a huge, extensive study, not like one or two businesses. There was thousands and thousands. Small businesses in the United States and United Kingdom polled and looked at. 51% of them do not have high enough security standards. 25% of those don't use anything at all. There's no protection on these business computers. There's no antivirus. There's no backups. There's no...
Yeah.
Hello? That's huge.
Yeah, and this is such a targeted...
I mean, I know that there's people out there that don't. There's businesses, you know, like Bradley said earlier, they can't afford it or they don't know they need it. But that numbers literally blew my mind.
Well, you know what? There is no excuse to not protect your nuclear freaking facilities. That is bullshit. There's absolutely no excuse to not have things that could end the planet
protected.
That's freaking ridiculous. And you know what? These people, they deserve it because they're idiots. You have cyber warfare that's going straight through to things that could end millions of lives. I mean, if you know nuclear physics and you know how nuclear stuff is done in reactors and stuff, one thing that's off, one value in a very specific equation that is off, the thing implodes, millions of people die, then you have radiation going throughout the entire area. It's very severe consequences. We've seen what happens when reactors going through a meltdown.
Yep.
And now we're seeing that it could possibly happen through cyber warfare. And what stops this from happening in the United States? What stops this from happening in the UK or Australia? How do we know these facilities are protected? We don't.
Exactly. And I want to give a quick shout out since I'm doing that today. I've done a few already. Shout out to Steven in our chat room who's using the name I Hate Snow. Kat, I saw the chat. I know you don't know who that is. That's Steven.
No,
Steven's been a long time viewer and subscriber here, and he is I believe he is the guy behind the famous I Hate Snow jailbreak site, which has millions of views.
He's asking me, do you remember me? And I said no, and I felt all bad. But he goes, I used to hang out in Chris's room, but not under this nick. How do you expect me to remember you? It's not the same name.
He was Steven 9088, and then he was something else too.
Well, now knowing who that is and what he does, yeah, I know who he is now. So, and we can't even get in there and start talking about jailbreaking, and because we'll be here for a couple more hours.
No, I said I wanted to get him on the show a while ago, and I still do. Steven, if you send me an email, dylan@combs.tv, I want to get you on the show. We're booked up for the next 3 weeks, though. But I still do want to get him on. Is it just two?
No, we have our guest for next week, and I'll tell you about that in just a moment before we wrap. The next week, we don't have a guest yet. I haven't lined one up yet. So if he's available, we can do that.
All right, well, we'll see. We will... possibly get an email from him. Are you guys done? Should I do my little announcement?
Yeah, Dylan, you have a little bit of announcements to do, don't you?
I do. I'll make this quick so we can get on out of here since you guys have been listening for like over an hour now. I wanted to just let you guys know I'm doing weekly videos for the Locker Gnome channel now. I've been doing screencasts for Chris's channel for quite a while now. But now I will actually be there every week. Lamar is on Mondays. He does his videos there Mondays. I will do mine on Fridays every week. And yes, I got to choose Friday because, it'll stay up there the longest.
That's how you roll.
Yeah. Friday's good. And it gives me all week to make the video. So I don't know what the videos will be. Sometimes they'll be screencasts. Sometimes they'll be me sitting in front of the camera talking about something, trying to be funny and probably not be. And sometimes a mix of the two. But I guarantee you I will always... do the best I can and try to entertain with my locker number.
Send them feedback. Send them feedback. Help them out.
Definitely.
I'm very happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you, Lamar.
Yeah, well, we've changed things. You know, this show isn't about Chris, of course, but I had an idea to make a little bit of a change, and Chris, of course, loved it, and we jumped on it, and he let me facilitate it. We actually are going to feature one specific person each day of the week now. Yes, we'll still have Chris's videos, of course. But I have five people. Lamar obviously was a no-brainer because he already is there on Mondays. And I found our four other best screencasters / videos that we've worked with in the past, or video people. And each one of them is assigned to a different day of the week. So I think we're going to get some really cool new content.
Did you secure MKBHD or not?
Yes, it's you. And I don't remember. Actually, yes, I do. I know who's who and when.
Excellent.
Lamar on Mondays. We've got Matthew Sabe on Tuesdays, Marquez MKBHD on Wednesday, Bowman BW1 on Thursday, and Dylan's on Fridays.
Awesome.
Great lineup.
I love MKB.
Guys have been solid performers. Dylan, you are my go-to person. You know that. He's helping us out with a review and a giveaway ready to do next week. And I called him up. I said, hey, Dylan, do you want to do this video? He's like, wait, great, let's do it. So
I don't have the software box sitting here, I'd get it, but those of you that are subscribed to youtube.com/lockernome, be on the lookout in the at some point this week, that review will be out of Roxia Creator Pro 2011, and will be.
And you could win a copy for yourself.
Yeah, we're giving away three copies, and I'll tell you how you can win on that video at youtube.com/lockergnome. I also wanted to mention real quick, I wanted to promote next week's show.
Yay, I'm so excited.
Now, Kat will not be on Skype. We'll still have her on by phone, and and Bradley will still be here via Skype. We'll also have Roberto from Throwboy.com.
Throwboy Pillows, yes.
Yep. So
Roberto's a good friend of mine, and he took me on the duck tour in Seattle. I'm forever indebted, and we'll talk about that next week because we had a great time. But the Throwboy Pillows, if you don't know them, go check them out this week before we have Roberto on there. Have your questions ready. He's a really fun guy. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Also, what's
happening next week, Dylan?
While I'm promoting my own shows, the following week, which would be the show on Saturday, the 4th of December.
Yes.
That will be a special edition show. We don't have a guest determined just yet. We might even run without a guest that week because Kat will be here live in studio for that show.
Yep.
And there's a possibility. We're considering
with
this.
With a camera.
Yeah. We might be doing a Subservient Dylan fundraiser to make me money for new studio
stream
equipment
computer.
And to, yeah, new stream computer, new cameras, and to fund my move. So
Chat room's going crazy. Look at this, Dylan.
Yeah.
They don't believe it.
Yeah, well, you're only like an hour and a half away, so.
Yeah.
Get this though, guys. She's going to drive all the way here, an hour and a half, just to come on the show.
That's right.
She's awesome.
Yeah, I roll that way. I'm awesome. You
can't call your own self awesome. You have to call you awesome.
Awesome.
Cat.
What?
You are awesome.
Thank you.
There you go.
I appreciate it.
And so are you, Wilson Tech.
It's funny, I just, people that call themselves things, I just unfollowed someone the other day on Twitter, and I got flack for it, because their bio stated they, I can't remember all the adjectives now, but
was
it talk about,
media
I'm awesome. A social media
I'm a guru, and all these words, and I'm like, you know what, if you call yourself that, it means jack shit. If someone else calls you that, I want to follow you and know what you have to say. Yeah.
It's very important not to call yourself guru and professional and all this other stuff unless you have several people say that you really are.
Look, I mean, like Gabe. Can we make Gabe the chatter of the day?
Yeah, Gabe's cool. Gabe's been...
I'll take that. What a great way to wrap the show up.
Well, I am considered by my chat room to be the king of the internet, and you being our co-host on here, I guess that makes you queen of the internet.
Of course. Absolutely.
So it works out.
I'm
so
hungry.
Let's. Sorry, what?
I said I'm hungry. It's spam time.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and just spam everybody and tell them where they can find us on the internet and head on out of here and do other internet things. I guess Kat, I will let you go first. Go ahead. Where can we find you on the internet?
First, as you probably guessed, you can find me on Twitter. I admit it. I'm a complete Twitter addict. I don't have time to blog on my own site or write long posts on Facebook. So if you want to find me on Twitter, it's twitter.com/KatArmstrong, and that is K-A-T, not C-A-T. I don't know who you're going to find if you spell it wrong. Of course, you can email me at any time, KatArmstrong@ combs.tv, right?
Yep.
I am in charge of getting guests for this show every week. So if you have a suggestion or you want to be a guest, you've got something cool to go away, shoot me an email, katarmstrong@combs.tv. Let me know about it, and we'll see what we can do. Bradley, over to you.
Well, you can find me on IRC as Alistair Moody, like always. My business email is alistair@ipocalypse.net, and I will soon have a Dylan Combs email, and
yes.
I will let you know as soon as I have that. But right now, you can send me at alistair@apocalypse.net. You can send me any news about security. You can send me any... thing you want me to talk about, or if you want to be a guest, then contact Dylan about all that stuff, or Kat, and that's really about it.
Yeah, Kat's our scheduling person now.
Yes,
I swear she does my guys.
I'm Dylan's assistant now. All of a sudden,
she does my show prep. She picks out my news articles for me. She gets the guests, reaches out to the guests, schedules the guests, and drives 90 miles here to be on the show.
Yeah,
when
she's sort of awesome. She's sort of awesome.
Well, when the hell are you going to make me a sandwich, Lamar?
You know what? After hearing all of this,
close together, Lamar. One of these days, we've hung out at conferences and things like that. One of these days, one of us need to drive or meet somewhere. We need to just hang out. No conference, no nothing. Just hang out.
We'll do it.
We'll buy sandwiches for each other.
Kat, when you get here, there will be a sandwich waiting for you.
Okay, just not peanut butter, right?
Right. Definitely not. Lamar, it's over to you.
Well, if you are on Twitter, you can find me at WilsonTech1. That's the number one. Or my main website is WilsonTech1.com. There you'll find all of my links, whether it's on YouTube or iTunes or all of my other links. So just go to my main website for everything. And thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you so much. Lamar, this has been, you know, I am in the guys during the show, and I'm like, this show is awesome. And that a lot of it is because of you. You brought in, like I said, different perspectives, and that's why I want to end you here. So thank you so much.
It really was a great show. Lamar, thanks for being here. Kat and Bradley, thanks for coming on as always. Of course, we'll be here next week, not the same time. We'll be live at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time next week. Yes. Pre-show starting at 12:30. So just a little afternoon, we'll be live. That's, of course, at live.combs.tv. I am at twitter.com/DylanCombsTV. And, of course, you can get the podcast and the blog post and everything else at dylan.combs.tv. And don't forget to check out my Locker Gnome blog at lockergnome.com/DylanCombs. Until next time, my world is boring.